Welcome to the Greenslate Podcast. I'm Julie Harris Walker. Greenslate is a software company that is taking the production office fully digital. Greenslate's vision is to put the entire production office in your pocket. Why go to the production office if everything you need to know, submit, or approve is available to you on your phone? This is the new model of efficiency made for the business of production. The Greenslate Podcast is the podcast where we are talking to people doing interesting work to evolve the entertainment business who have a passion for making things better. Like-minded agents of change. To that end, today we are talking about exciting happenings in Canada. Greenslate has recently opened our office in Canada, and in doing so, we have met some very cool people who are also committed to the cause of digital workflows and paperless offices in Canada. So welcome to the Greenslate Podcast, Canada Edition. So first, I have my colleague, Carrie Leifert. Carrie is the VP of Sales and New Business Development at Greenslate. Prior to that, she was from the world of factual, unscripted entertainment as a senior account manager at RealScreen. While she has spent the last few years encouraging productions to go paperless across the U.S., she is currently shepherding the opening of Greenslate's Canadian office. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for having me.
Carrie, why don't you give us the quick overview of Greenslate for people who aren't familiar?
Greenslate is a full-service entertainment payroll company. We have partnered with Circus for digital start work in Canada, while in the U.S. we do have our own digital starts. We also have digital time cards, as well as production accounting software. And all of this is, you know, a part of our service that we offer to all of our payroll clients, but we also do license out all of our digital products internationally as well.
Tell us, how is it going in Canada?
Things are going well. So as you know, Greenslate has been operating in the U.S. for payroll for around 20 years now, and we are so excited to finally be expanding north of the border to Canada. I was actually the very first Canadian employee that Greenslate hired around 3 years ago. So this is near and dear to my heart. And I have to say, when I first met Daniel and Gad, who we also have on the call today, I was just over the moon to also meet other people who are just on the same wavelength as we are here at Greenslate.
Okay, so let's introduce them too. First, we have Daniel Domachowski. Daniel is the co-founder and CEO of Circus, a Vancouver-based HR platform for the entertainment industry. Before Circus, Daniel produced under the Type 1 banner and started with a series of short content that had screened in over 100 festivals. He's also produced and managed branded content for Olympic Yogurt, McDonald's, the NDP, and Avigilon. Welcome, Daniel.
Hey.
Give us the elevator pitch for Circus.
Great. Well, thanks for having me and welcome to Canada. Circus basically started a long time ago, but officially it was 4 years ago. I used to be a producer and a PM on the West Coast, and I also used to have a background running a digital agency. So I had experience running film, and I also had experience with product design. And it was really frustrating for me as a producer to not have the technology to capture the most essential details and docs for my crew, which was the star pack. And so 4 years ago, me and my co-founder Nigel started to build the first digital star pack platform in Canada, where content creators can fully customize their HR workflow and capture all the union, payroll, residency, and legal docs from the crew and organize it all in one secure cloud. So that's Circus in a nutshell.
Awesome. We're so glad that you're with us today.
Thank you.
Okay. Finally, we have Gad Tisch. Gad is the founder and CEO of Crew Glue, a production management platform for television series and films. Since launching in 2018, Crew Glue has been a leading provider of production management solutions in Canada. Prior to founding Crew Glue, Gad spent several years on the production side of sets, working in the production office and visual effects. Following that, Gad worked on the studio side, engaged in the marketing and licensing of global brands. Welcome, Gad.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity. Bienvenue. Since Daniel started with our first language, I'll give us the other one. it's great to be here. Just a little more about Crew Glue. As you mentioned, I spent a lot of years on sets and then at the studio. So I got to really understand how production operations unfurled from the beginning to the archive and how they're managed and seeing how paper heavy they were. And trying to look for a way to better manage that. Instead of becoming a digital recorder, seeing how we could connect all the different systems that go into that ecosystem of production and bring it all together in one hub. So that's how we came about with Crew Glue. We got started in 2015 with the nut of the idea and started building from there. So Crew Glue is a film and television production management software. It's, as I mentioned, it's a hub for studios and crew to securely access and share their production docs and assets. It's the only production management software out there that is integrated to the tools that crew and studios use, centralizing their production data sources from systems across the studio, vendors, and other crew applications that they're using day to day. We're streamlining the challenging production workflows that go into reconciling across different applications on a production, and we're automating that data entry and reconciliation process. Since 2018, CrewGlue has been activated on over 300 productions by Paramount, CBS, and Warner Brothers.
Awesome. All right, so it seems like between all of us, we have the digital workflow down end to end. Let's just really quick kind of lay out the life cycle of a production using all of our companies and products together. I think maybe we start with GAD.
Okay, sure. So I think the way we initially thought it would start would be that Circus would be the first stage and people would start entering their data there, and that content would move into CrewGlue so that when the production office launched, all their crew would already automatically be in the system. And even better, it was authored by those people. So email, address, all of that would be accurate because it was done by people personally. What we discovered in practice was that people were actually using CrewGlue to alert crew to go use Circus or sharing the Circus link via CrewGlue. So we saw right away that we had a lot of emails with the subject line Circus, and we started realizing actually, because the production office is really that first state, even though there is this pre-prep, a lot of the higher activity was happening once the office was open. There was certainly Circus was up and running. So once you got with CrewGlue, you started sending those emails out. People started getting links to Circus. They would get connected through Circus. It's entirely possible that their contact information would need to migrate back to CrewGlue if it wasn't already in there. And that's how it would come back to CrewGlue. And from there, we would have all their vitals so that the production could then send emails, share different files with them, provide them with access to different things through the network. And we go with that until archive. We store all their assets for all their different departments, and they can use that for as many years as they desire.
Okay, so you're kind of the hub. And then Circus comes in, and let's talk about your part and how that fits in.
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, it would be the moment you're greenlit as a production. You know, you are ready to hire your crew, set up your production office. I mean, we usually come in at the stage where the production office is just getting set up. You might have already hired some of your keys, like your PMs or producers or a production accountant, but you're looking to get start packs done for the other keys and get going, right? So we come in at the stage where they're ready to do that. And basically, you know, you want to make sure that you have everyone's legal docs, union docs, residency docs, and payroll docs in order so that you can process all that. You know, you capture tax credits. You can make sure that you have a legal contract with the person that you're employing so that when they go on set, you know, you have those, T's crossed and his I's dotted. And you want to make sure you have your payroll start slips as well so that you can process payroll. Now with GreenSlate, it's really great because we have a seamless integration where, you know, if once a start pack's approved, everything kicks over to GreenSlate automatically, meaning that the start slip gets kicked over, direct deposit forms, and all the data actually. So when crew are, you know, finish a start pack, the first thing they want to do is submit a timesheet right away because they just want to get paid, right? So GreenSlate sends the crew member an email right away to get set up in GreenSlate and submit a timesheet. And everything's pre-filled with the data that they entered in Circus. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that GAD, people were using CrewGlue in that way, but that's really interesting. It's good to know.
See, podcasts bringing people together and ironing out all the wrinkles. So then, Carrie, it goes to you. Then what happens?
Well, I guess it depends on the production, because I find sometimes productions are ready to start either with the start work, or they'll sort of reach out to the payroll company a little further in advance when they're even a few months out and they're just trying to, you know, get their budget settled and they want to run the numbers by us and they want to get all the fringes from someone like myself. So there are times when we will step in a little earlier. But basically, once your start work is filled out with Circus, as Daniel said, it's a one-way flow of information, and we are fully integrated with Circus. So Startworks filled out, gets sent over to GreenSlate, and flows directly into our digital time cards, as well as our production accounting software. And, you know, GreenSlate is 100% web-based. It's also a single database, which makes us very different from any other payroll company out there. Traditionally, the GL and the payroll systems have always been two separate entities, and we're all about making things as easy and as simple as possible for the clients.
I was just going to say, like, how it's really interesting how, you know, there is a lot of, you know, different technologies in the industry, but, you know, everyone has his own account, which does make it sometimes a little bit frustrating for, you know, crew to have to set up an account one place and set up an account in another place. But, you know, when we have the hookup, like what we do with GreenSlate, where it's automated, it makes it a lot easier for crew to just be able to go like, okay, I got my start pack done. Now, great. Here's where I submit my timesheet, and it's really clear. And we have a sync up with GAD as well for Crew Glue. So yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
We want it all to be as simple as possible.
You gotta.
So now let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that is we are still in a pandemic. So I'm curious, I mean, the U.S. is just starting to dip their toes back into production and figuring out how to do it with everybody in hazmat suits. The impression is it's going better in Canada. How is it looking for you guys?
Oh, Julie. I've gone from, I don't know about you guys, but I've gone from disinfecting everything to disinfecting the disinfecting wipes container to now quarantining everything in my home before even touching anything. So yes, as we've seen the numbers go down, we're feeling a little bit more relaxed here in Canada. But unfortunately, I think the numbers are on the rise again. With school starting next week, gyms are starting to open up and actually increase the numbers. Just last week, I heard in the news one wedding accounted for 150 COVID cases and three deaths.
Gosh.
So it's really not the time to be relaxing. And so, yes, it's 100%. I've seen an increase in digital interest. And at this point, if someone were to say that they wanted to forgo our digital options because we can do things the traditional way on paper, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah. It's like accelerated the use for digital. It's almost, producers are treating it now as a liability not to go digital. They just don't want that paper contact anymore. And it's really interesting because we've been doing this paper process for 100 years. Like that has been the process that everyone is so used to, and accountants are very used to that too. And it's interesting that it's taken a pandemic for everyone sort of to be pushed over the edge to just go, okay, screw it, let's just go digital. Because before, I really felt like people were eager to go digital, but there was never something forcing them to do it. And the pandemic has certainly forced them. Like, you know, in March, we certainly weren't doing the level of shows that we're doing now. So it's really interesting. But producers are doing a really good job, in my opinion, in Canada. I mean, they seem really diligent.
Yeah, isn't that funny how for years we've been trying to push the industry to go digital, and everyone's like, yeah, it's a good idea, but we're never going to get that crew member who barely has a flip phone to do anything digital. And we've always kind of been saying, how can that even be true? But it seems like there is such an imperative now. How are you helping those crew people transition to digital, the ones who really have been resistant?
Well, I think on that point, it's a good segue because, you know, they've been on that paper precipice, if you will, for so long that, you know, having this kind of impetus made that transition so much easier and quicker. So when they were already batting at a 20 to 30%, let's say, digital rate on their shows, you know, on a good average, now they're easily, you know, at that 70%, potentially 100% digital, which we've had a few shows be, because of how close they were to that. And also, as you said earlier, you know, not bending because one person keeps the production from making any progress. So they went from a very zero-sum strategy of if one person can't do it, we all can't do it, to a much more iterative or evolutionary way of, well, you know what, if the few that need it, we'll manage them and eventually they'll get on board. And the truth is the pandemic helps too. You know, there's the other layer that personally they have to take those make those decisions and take care to better protect themselves and be more healthy and safe.
Are we going to call this a silver lining of the pandemic?
I guess. Absolutely. I mean, if you look at food as well, food was always, when I worked on sets, food was the saddest thing to see on sets because there was a tremendous amount of waste there. And now that they have to personalize it, while there is more packaging they are getting rid of a lot more food, or they're able to order at better rates that they don't have to waste like they used to. So that's helped.
It's like everyone's going to have to become more efficient.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Crew have always wanted this. They've always wanted to go digital. It just took, you know, I think it's the people in the production office that need to do the shift. And I understand why. I mean, when you move to a different technology or a different workflow, and, you know, we work in one of the fastest paced environments in the world, probably, where you're literally raising a village and, tearing it down within days. I mean, making a decision that drastic about a workflow they've been using for 100 years, that is scary. And a little mistake costs a lot of money as well. So I understand why the production office has been so hesitant on it. But like for Crew, they're like, yeah, like no problem. There was a security guard last year who onboarded onto 70 different productions. So he had to provide 70 different start packs. That means he had to provide the same details and docs over and over again, right? So it's like Crew want this. Like, I mean, I think that it's been nice to see everyone in the industry embrace digital now.
Yeah, like you, I agree with you, Daniel, 100%. Everyone is just so used to doing things a certain way. It's hard to change your mindset and get yourself there. But I'm sure like you, we're all just trying to do our best in helping crews and everyone get on board. You know, we're here to support you. We can offer live remote demos to start just to get you familiar with the software, the digital start work, time cards, production accounting software. We can set up additional webinars if that's needed for your production accounting team. Our system also has call, chat, email. GreenSlate is available 24/7, which is actually kind of crazy. I mean, I don't know if anybody else offers that in Canada, but we truly are here to support you. And it's also nice when you're speaking to somebody on the phone and you're like, hey, this person's kind of cool. This is nice. Our people are nice, and we love working with you guys as well, because we find that you guys have amazing service too.
Yeah, do you do phone calls?
Just a few. It's very hard to manage. I mean, you want to take everybody's call, and but certainly it's important. I mean, if we don't take that time to invest in the user, then we're not going to see that long run return out of it. And we built these sort of planets for them, so we got to make sure they know how to navigate them so that they want to keep coming back.
That's it, exactly. You can't let them give up if they don't know how to do something. You got to hold their hand all the way through.
Oh, they're certainly ready to give up. And I think because you know how quickly they are to complain to the production manager or production office for why did they expletive have to use this expletive software, you know, that's usually how it goes. But, you know, it's so important. Like I'm doing constant on one show, I could do 5 or 6 different demos, you know, just to ensure that we can, you know, put those seeds in so that you get them there, or that they see, most importantly, that things will go wrong. So how do you deal with those troubleshoots? Because I find a lot of times when we present it to them, they're not paying attention. And then they're just listening to you upload something and seeing something done successfully. But in reality, they're going to have some network issue, or a file might not conform, or all these other random glitches come up. So I find the best way to just wake them up is, okay, here's the first problem you're going to have, and, you know, take it from there, because that's really where they wake up and they respond. And I tend to see a lot better traction out of that than if you're doing it for them. I find that you lose them, because they are, as much as they're ready to go digital, they are, you know, naturally, like any human, happy to go back to the way it was. And I think we all wish we could. So any minor way to sort of scratch that itch, they'll take it. So yeah, I think the transition has been certainly easy, but it really necessitates a lot of investment in demos and personal calls and that kind of experience.
For sure. Because it's one thing to watch you do it. It's another thing to do it themselves when they already have a job that is so hard and has so many moving parts.
Absolutely. It is a running train. As soon as that prep door opens and, you know, they're really not able to distract themselves to some new application, that even if it saves them X amount of time, hours, dollars, whatever it is, you know, the way they're doing it works.
Yeah. So yeah, we all just have to promise a little investment now is going to make your life so much easier in the long run.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And to be fair, we've also made a huge investment in our software. So naturally, we want to make sure that all of our users are comfortable with it. And you know what? Things will go wrong. It's technology. But something we've also found is people, because they're, you know, trying to make that transition, they'll sometimes jump to the conclusion that there's something wrong with the software when maybe it was just their bandwidth, or maybe it was something else outside of that. So you know what? Instead of just maybe getting upset about it, call us. We love it when you call us. Let us know, because we can help you troubleshoot that and show you that, hey, technology isn't so bad after all. This can be as painless as you'd like it to be, but we're really here to help.
Lots of user error too.
Yeah, often it's they don't know where to click. So once you show them where to click, it all works fine. Now, I'm going to ask you guys on behalf of the audience who always asks, what about security? If I'm going to put all this stuff in the cloud, how do I know it's safe?
You know, for us, being that our main engine is email and distribution for productions, that's a really hard sell. You know, when you call a show and say, hey, let me do all your emailing, or they don't know who you are. So our MVP was really the script sides and providing productions with a way to break down their scripts in an easy way. It enabled them to see that we were trustworthy, we were stable. But on the flip side, as much as it was an MVP, we also had to have security to the highest level possible, at bank level, abiding by the trusted partner network, being a part of that, and teaming up with different security teams at studios to ensure that we were at the level that we needed to be at so that we could build up that user base and brand equity from people trying us out on this basic script version and then moving on to the email version. So, you know, this is an industry that is paramount to having security for these scripts and ensuring that they stay in the right places. And especially if they shouldn't be there, can I wipe it? If somebody has left the show, is it easy to track that and wipe all that information, all the two-factor authentications and encryptions and all those layers as well? So we really know that there's no product without putting security at the top of the level of how we build, develop, and architect. And that's really important in how we make our decisions.
Great. How about you, Daniel?
Yeah, so security is the number one priority over at Circus, and also the privacy of our users. You know, I mean, scripts are very important to keep private, but we have a lot of private information about people that you really don't want to get into the wrong hands. You know, our CTO, Nigel, he doesn't sleep at night thinking about how we can, you know, enhance our security, but we are at the max where there's nothing else that we can do to protect everyone's privacy. I mean, we have bank level encryption, military grade, you know, security. We have two-factor authentication as well. We also actually automatically redact all residency documents using machine learning. So if someone's providing a notice of assessment, we just automatically redact it. We'll redact SINs and birth dates everywhere on the platform. But recently we had one of the largest studios in the world just do a penetration test on our platform. And, they were incredibly impressed. They couldn't even find our servers, which is pretty impressive. I mean, we feel really confident about it. And, you know, the studios even using us, that's a testament to how great our security is, because they've done their due diligence on us.
All right. That's what we want. How about you, Carrie?
Yeah, we are 100% committed to safeguarding the personal information that we collect, because like Daniel, we deal with a lot of personal info. Our application and platform are designed with the most stringent security protocols, which are independently verified to ensure the highest levels of security for our customer data. We are SOC 2 Type 2 certified, which basically means we've passed all the security tests for all the major studios. The GreenSlate application is on an invite-only system, so clients can invite crew members and can assign per project permissions so that they can control exactly what each user can access. So basically your crew members can access accounting information or, you know, the cast contact list and their information. We also have something we call divisions, and divisions allow our clients to control their crew's access by department, employee classification, or any other custom grouping. And that's something you'll set up during the onboarding process with our team.
So you guys, as we're getting closer and closer to kind of the collective vision of what production office technology should look like, what do you guys think is next on the horizon?
Like how far? How many years are we talking?
Well, I don't know. Do you have a 1-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan? Where are we headed?
It's not necessarily like I think where Circus or is headed, or even, I don't even, Kluger or GreenSlate, but I'm really intrigued to see where the industry heads. I think we're going to be using a lot of AI. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of producers in the future who are creating budgets who maybe have a gap of $100,000 in their finance structure, and it'll suggest precisely which location to shoot to fill that gap, to fill up the tax credits, where to save. We're going to have like pretty intense software in the future. But I also think that probably be using, you know, just like another example, like LMs one day, they'll probably have an iPad in the future where they're just telling their Tesla semi-trucks to where to park on a city street, just using their finger. I mean, like, that is going to happen. I know it. It's like, there's just so much technology that I think that we're going to be utilizing in the future.
That sounds very cool. Gad, yeah. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. I think, you know, obviously a lot more data driven, you know, having a situation where just like a company like Synalytic, which is a company that enables studios to decide when they should be releasing productions, what month, which actors to use, all of that, the same logic could be applied to production operations. You know, how to shoot them, how to break them down, how they order equipment, how they hire for them. What would be the best location to shoot these productions in? You know, production is a highly repetitive place in an area we've really spent a lot of focus and time on to, you know, build out our algorithms is in the movie of the week and episodic space because of how repetitive that area is. And being able to then push this into features so that we can be one of the first ones that's able to create these templates of, if you have this type of production, this is how you can build it out, because it's certainly coming. As Daniel said, you know, obviously with the repetitiveness, AI and ML is on the horizon as well. You know, there's certainly a lot of different basic tasks that are being done that could easily be automated or have a simpler machine learning type of function that just takes care of it. So there's a lot of, you know, Internet of Things and, you know, automation that will take shape, no doubt, in the next 3 to 5 years, and certainly catalyzed by what we've done in these last few months of moving at about 5 to 8 years faster in a span of 3 months. You know, so we're at a place today that we probably wouldn't have been in, you know, another 5 years. So we're certainly moving a lot faster. And I think that will only bring forth a lot bigger changes over these next few years as people have adopted and adapted to all these new measures.
Okay, so lingo break. I think we all know what AI is. Daniel, you said LM, and Ged, you said ML. I think machine learning?
Machine learning for me and location manager for him.
Okay, thank you. Carrie, what are you seeing in the future?
I mean, I think it can only get bigger and better. Everyone is going towards digital. It's also all about having smarter data. I mean, on the payroll and production accounting side, I think it's one of those things that have been left behind when it comes to technology. It's just one of those things, again, you don't want to think about it, but you want it to work perfectly all the time. GreenSlate actually does more than just entertainment payroll. We've gone so far as working with other disruptors in this industry like Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, just to name a few, that are, again, on a very similar wavelength as us. And they're all about getting smarter data or data. I don't know how you guys say
it. How do you say in Canada?
Is that a Canadian thing or American thing?
I'm not sure. But that's the thing. When you're working in Canada and the US, you're like, what? How do you say it? I don't know. Anyways, yeah. So it's all about having smarter data and using that to make better decisions in the future. I can certainly see that happening here on our end for sure. I know a lot of studios are interested in, you know, managing their budgets better, managing how to better buy shows in the future. You know, we have a production dashboard here at GreenSlate that allows you to see how far along in each of your budgets and all of your shows running simultaneously. You can have it flagged at, say, you can be like, hey, Carrie, I want to know when the budget reaches 90% so we can make tweaks and alterations to then help us save money in the future. We also have a tax credit management dashboard, which is one of our newer products. And it really helps if you are managing multiple tax credits simultaneously as well. So yeah, I think it's really important that we even know that these options and products are available to us now.
Yeah, I think you're right, Carrie. I think that we all saw how Netflix used their data to figure out what actor, what genre, what type, what length, you know, to just put out hit after hit after hit. And I think the same is going to be true for the production offices and the budgets. Like once you have all the data of how much it costs everybody to shoot in whatever location and whatever type of thing, like you were saying, Gad, it's so repetitive that we should be able to gather that data and help each other, you know, craft their budgets and plans going forward based on what's been done before.
And to kind of go back on, I don't mean to sort of take a sidestep here, but when we're thinking about budgets too, I know with COVID and the pandemic, everyone's budgets are really jacked up right now. Just the other day, I was speaking to a producer who had to reshoot a scene that was about $300,000, and his budget's now over $1 million for that one scene because you have all these extra safety protocols in place, you know, having to fill out that safety form in the health form in the morning, all the extra time it takes. So going digital will also help you save money. I mean, think about your traditional production office where you've got that one person scanning paper after paper for days, weeks, sometimes even months. It's kind of insane that we still have that happening nowadays. And I mean, working for a technology-based company, we just look at it and go, but we can fix that. You don't even have to hire that person. You don't have to pay for those banker's boxes, all the storage fees, all the rental fees. So yeah, it's also a really great money saver because we say, hey, go digital because it's great for the environment. We even have a little eco tracker showing you how much, you know, water, trees that you've saved and what your carbon footprint looks like within our application here at GreenSlate. But we know it's all about the bottom line. So if you can save money and some time, why not?
And then with the way that CGI is going, you're going to save a lot of money on actors as well.
Oh, don't tell the actors that. Oh my God, what are you saying?
Did you see that video that got released by that visual effects company where it looked photorealistic? It was incredible how accurate it was. And they built this scene it was like in a cave or something, but I was just so impressed. They built that location from scratch and quite quickly and easily too. They're going to be creating a lot of CGI elements as opposed to actually shooting it on site. And there's a lot of, you know, shooting in studio where you actually have a backlit. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but they have like just a screen, a 360-degree screen where you just have an actor stand there and you just project the images directly onto that screen and it looks like you're there. I mean, like, that's going to save a lot of money as well, just with, you know, location fees, having to ship an entire, you know, imagine if Revenant was shot on just projection, they save a lot of money, even though it sounds horrible.
It's incredible. And it's a whole different set of acting skills also. I mean, it changes everything.
Well, have you guys seen that new stage for America's Got Talent this season?
Mm-mm.
So the season had to stop partway through because of the pandemic. And when they came back, some of the talent comes back on the stage and the stage, it's like a 360-degree. I don't know how they do it because they look like they're in this amazing setting. And then suddenly when it's time for the judges to appear, everything disappears and you're like, oh, they're just on the regular stage. I don't know what that technology is, but it's pretty amazing. And I think that, you know, COVID times has pushed people to come up with these new creative things.
It is exciting. Okay, I want to ask all of you two things, both sides of the coin. What is the thing that is keeping you up at night and what are you really excited about?
I'm really worried about another outbreak, to be honest. Fall season's coming up. Then I want to make sure all of us are still have a business, come wintertime. But what I'm really feeling positive about is, you know, just, you know, this conversation. I mean, like we have three different technology companies and we're all synced up and it's really exciting, not just for us, but for the content creators out there and the crew out there, because we're making their lives easier so they can focus on telling great stories and not dealing with, paper, essentially.
How about you, Ged?
I think, you know, I had the same answer for both. I mean, I think it's this moment, you know, I think everybody has finally arrived at, if you will, Shangri-La, you know, or whatever you want to call it, where we hope they would be. So at the same time, I'm very jazzed about it, but it also keeps you up that you can execute. I think, you know, if we have a shutdown, we have a shutdown, but, you know, content will always be made and it will, just like it was the last time, it was temporary, and whatever it will be this time will always come back. But the point is, we finally are at this place where all productions know they need to use software. They need to take better advantage of the applications in front of them. So they're all here and they're ready. So, you know, just as exciting as that is, you want to be sure that you can execute and ensure that you can follow through with the vision you have and support them in the way you thought you can now that they're all ready to take off.
Yeah. How about you, Carrie?
I fear the same thing. I fear lockdown happening again, because I think a lot of production companies might not make it if there is a second lockdown. But I'm jazzed to see some of the new content coming out. Like I said, there's new technology happening that's getting pushed out because of the situation. I don't know about you guys, but I love seeing those one scene movies like Buried with Ryan Reynolds. Or I don't know if you remember that movie called Phone Booth, where the whole movie takes place in one place. And I just think we're going to see more of that, because it's harder to bring larger casts together. And I just find it's absolutely brilliant that something can be created where I'm just so enthralled with just one or two characters in a movie. So yeah, I'm jazzed about that.
I was just going to say, if you like one scene movies, watch Victoria.
Oh, noting.
Victoria. Very fantastic one scene movie from Germany.
Yeah, I think we're going to have such an explosion of creativity coming out of this. That's really exciting. So something that has struck me over the years, really just doing podcasts and talking to people from all sides of this business, is that no matter what your jam is, like, there is a place for you in this industry. You know, the people who are on set doing things would never in a million years think, I'm going to build an onboarding system, you know? But it's such a vital part of the process. And there really is... There really are so many different disciplines and industries that all are in support of making the entertainment that we all love. Like, I'm always interested in that and how people are drawn to different things. But my question for you guys is, what is the best piece of advice you ever got in this business?
Oh, man.
Don't build your application for actors.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
They don't need to know too much.
I used to be like a PM and a line producer, and I had a great mentor, Dan Beckerman. And for some reason, I always remember just like something he said to me. He just said, you know, your job as a line producer is just literally just hold the line. All you have to do is hold the line. And for some reason, it always stuck to me of just like, just push. That was the idea of persistence, pushing through, and just like, you know, just, you know, you hold the line could even be representative of just like making sure that you're persistent on the quality or integrity of the content you're creating, or of the product you're creating. So I always remember that for some reason. It just stuck in my head.
Hold the line.
Hold the line. It's really to mean like, don't go over budget. But it can mean
that's
a lot
what
of
he
it.
Meant by it. Don't go over budget.
Really good, man. Don't go over budget.
I would say some of the best advice I got was to always be transparent. I think people really value your honesty and your openness, because we live in a world and we work in a business where it's just all, it feels like a lot of smoke and mirrors. So when someone can come out to you and say, hey, this is our technology, this is what we got, this is what we're working on, these are things that we're still working on, I think people really appreciate that. And I think being open, honest, and being very transparent is very important in this business. Because we tend to work with the same people all the time, right? It's a very small world. So when you lose trust from anyone, you know, you've lost out on a lot in the long run.
That is so true. It's so much about relationships and trust, especially when everything is so risky, just because everyone's spending so much money so quickly. It's vital. Okay, does anybody have any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Well, how do you think this is affecting like the American productions? I mean, do you think like the American productions are going to come to Canada now?
It's tricky for them to do so. I'm not sure what paperwork they have to fill out, because our borders technically are closed. Although I did have a California.
You can fly. It's just driving. Okay. It's just the driving border is closed, but you can fly to the United States. I know a lot of people that have places in Vermont and they've been flying there.
No, but for production that we're going to shoot in places that may be heavily affected by COVID right now, they're going to have to decide to move their production elsewhere. And Canada seems like a really good bet right now. So, Carrie, have you been hearing about any productions like just moving from the States to Canada? Just completely, just like, okay, screw it, we'll just do it in Canada?
I've had people consider Canada, but their budgets are still being locked. So I have yet to see that, but I think it will be happening for sure, because they look at Canada and say, hey, that's a safe place to shoot and we're saving money.
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of TV going to Canada.
Yeah.
It's funny that no one else in the in any other industry kind of wants the Canadian economy to be, except for people who work in the film industry, because when our dollar sucks, that means the Americans come up here and shoot.
Sorry. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Green Slate podcast. I'm Julie Harris-Walker. I'd like to thank Carrie Liefat, Gad Tisch, and Daniel Domachowski for joining us today. You can find us all at gslate.com, crewglue.com, and circushr.com. Green Slate, made for the business of production. Thanks for listening. See you next time.